Yeah, on Ham and Elf. We're actually going to take it from the bottom. Let's take it from the bottom of Dalman Base. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the second to last line of Dalman Base. Can we hear back there? There is a chair back here. Yeah. If it becomes, it should get better as the year goes along, but if it does become intolerable, then we can always go into another room again. I'm going to be able to try to the bottom. I think so. Alright. They dafka want you guys to come out to the yeshiva at night because they want you to see this. They said this to me. They said they want you to see how strong Night Seder is and be able to tell people. Anyway, now we go. So say the bottom line down base. On the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said below Masdi, so he's not a Mishnah which says that Kiddushin doesn't work by Yavama. The Yavama can't be Mekudeshes. I once heard a story that Rabbi Yosha Bear was once asked about a case like this, but the story was not a great story. It has no plot nor theme. But actually, there was a rabbi who did something like this. He was Mekadesh, since he didn't know the halacha. He came to a chasna and he didn't know that this woman was a Yavama. He knew, found only the chasna, the woman was Yavama, and she never had a chalitza. And he married them anyway, and he figured he'll take care of it after the wedding. But you can't do that. After that, it's too late. Once Yavama is Mizana, she's forbidden both to the Yavam and to the Nchasin. So that was the end of that. It was kind of a tragic story. As I say, there's no happy ending to that one. So in any event, Rabbi Yochanan said, marriage doesn't take effect by Yavama. V'lo Matzisi is in a Mishnah that says, Ola Acha Shiachla Tzlochi Bimech. If a man says, I want to marry you now, and it should take effect after you get chalitza, ain't a mekudesh, it's not a valid marriage. Vaya Rabbi, and it should, to the top of Hamadav, it should say Yanai. Vaya Rabbi Yanai, Mikalis, Rabbi Yanai said all sorts of psukki to praise Rabbi Yochanan. We won't go through the translations again, but he said, Azolim, Zod, Mikis, B'niya, B'niya, Yolisum, Enecho, Chachim, Li, V'samach, Libi, Tein, L'chochem, V'yech, Gamot, Yishma, Chochem, V'yosif, Lekach. Amr, Hashem, Elok, Yishir, Shalai said, Bah, humbug, B'sai, Koli, Lanky, Lusaya, all after all these praises, Yochol, who, Anabatala, it's possible for someone, meaning me, to say that mission is no proof. Because the mission says there's no kedusha by Yavama, could be going to grab Yakiva. The Yakiva Meryesh Mamzeri via Yavama. The flip side of that is, of course, if Yavama has relations with somebody else and has a kid as a result, so we paskin that the kid is not a Mamzer. Why? Because we paskin that in order to create a Mamzer, there has to be the level of prohibition, which is capital, right? Capital crime level. Rabbi Kiva holds that even a prohibition which is just plain a negative command without capital crime level also generates mamzerus. And the flip side of that is that therefore if you say that it's that creates mamzerus, that means there can be no marriage under that situation. But a case where it's a lav, sometimes there is marriage, as we learned a couple of days ago. A kohen gadol marrying an almana. The marriage does take effect, right? Marriage does take effect. So therefore here, in fact, we might say that Mishnah would say that there's no marriage by Yavama. That's going according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds the marriage doesn't take effect even if the prohibition is one of a generic law level. However, perhaps like Rabbanon, who argued Rabbi Akiva, marriage may take place between a foreign man and Yavama, even though it's prohibited. Okay? So, now all that is coming, all that is kind of peripheral here. The question, now we're getting back to the question. Rabbi Yudon asked the question yesterday, which we never got back to. Rabbi Yudon's question was, Mr. Zuger, what's the problem? So we're coming back to it. Don't worry, we're coming back to it. Hammer base, we're getting there. So now, the question you're dealing with is as follows. Rabbi Yudon asked the question. If you have two Yavamas, right, and somebody came from the marketplace. There was Mekadesh, one of those Yavamas. And then the Yavam did Yivor Chalitza to the other Yavam, to the Tzara. So does the marriage take effect retroactively, right? And that was just asked, what are you talking about? There's no marriage by Yavama. Even though Reish Lakish said maybe there is, but Lamai said there isn't. So what is the premise of Rabbi Yudan's question? So it says, well, perhaps the premise is as follows. Perhaps Elatam and Yavam Achas. Where does marriage not take effect between a Yavam and a foreigner? Where there's one Yavama? Because her Zika to the Yavam is exclusive and therefore absolute. V'lacha b'shtei Yavamos. But here, perhaps, since there are two Yavamos, so each one only has a more tenuous Zika, and therefore perhaps a marriage to one of them by an outside person might take effect. Says Gemara, what? Shani Yisra Yavam Achas, Shani Yisra Shtei Yavamos. Is there any difference whether it's about one or two? Zika is Zika. And if Zika prevents marriage from occurring, it makes a difference if it's a Zika on a one or a Zika on a two. Okay. Lamaisa, we stop. We have no, Rabbi Yudan's question has been rejected. We reject that event. There's no premise in order to say that the marriage should take effect. Rabbi Yudan, not being deterred, went on and asked another question. Rabbi Yudan asked, Commander, I'm likely but chose. Who ain't a chayva chalutza? The opinion which shows that he is not chayv on the chalutza, meaning the guy who did chalitza. If he then has relations with her, so he's not chayv kares. It's not capital crime. Ava chayv al-hatzara, but on the co-wife upon which he didn't do chalitza, so he is chayv kares because she's still considered to be an eshesach. She's still considered to be a brother's wife, right? Chalitza p'tur. The chalitza is a p'tur. Okay, chalitza gets him off the hook. Vis-a-vis the woman, he did chalitza, she's no longer an eshesach. Right? What about bia p'tur? What about the case of where he had relations with her? And it's miyabimer. And then he died. In that case, just like you say that when you did chalitza on the woman, she still remains forbidden to the brothers as a nation sach. The kavosa ba'aleo nesulachim. Maybe also if he has relations with her, she still remains a nation sach. This is a fascinating question. Fascinating because it's very difficult to understand. What he's asking is like this. Perhaps there's only a one-shot evil. Meaning Reuven dies, Shimon the brother does evil. But if Shimon dies, then Levi or Yehuda can't do evil. Because maybe just like after Shimon does Chalitza, Levi is Chayav Kores on the woman to whom Shimon did Chalitza, right? So too, if Shimon marries her, even if then Shimon dies without any kids, maybe now she remains an Eshesach, and anybody else can't have relations with her. Do you see that question? No, that's Rabbi Yudan's question. Maybe not. Maybe we say Chalitza's Ptur, then Bia's also Ptur. But it's situational. Meaning for the guy who does it, he gets off Eshesach. But everybody else, the originalists of Eshesach never fell off. And therefore, even if now Shimon dies, there can't be an additional Yibum. You don't like it. We know that. I know that. You know that. The Gemara is going to say it in a minute. But Rabbi Yudan didn't know that. So you guys are too smart. That's your problem. You have to be a little bit dumb sometimes. Okay? That's what Amili says. See, Tani Rabbi Chia said you're wrong. It's a braisa. The first guy dies, The second one does Yibum. Mesa Hasheni, the second one dies. Yabe Mashlishi, the third one does Yibum. So you guys being so smart, know Rabbi Chiya's price intuitively. But Rabbi Yudon didn't. He was asking, maybe once the second guy takes it, so for him, Mesha Sachov fell off. Brother's wife fell off. But not for the other ones, and therefore Shimon died, then Levi would not have the right to do evil. You still, you can't even see his Ahavamina. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, that was the...
Boo.
Can't be approved from Yehuda Tomer. Was an evil, was poor man, Torah. Okay. Now, Ptur means exempt.
Exempt.
Potter. Potter, yeah. Ptur is Potter. Okay. So, oh, maybe not. Maybe you're right. We'll have to see Lehem Sech if they ever being arrived in Yehuda and Tomer. But in any event, how do you know Yerushalmi doesn't?
Okay.
I know you're Bucky Bobby, but not necessarily Yerushalmi. Okay. Say it a little further. Rabbi Rabbi Yosef said, Matzavar. Now Rabbi Yossi attacks the Svara of Rabbi Yudin's question. Not that we have a proof against Rabbi Yudin's question, but he attacks the Svara. Matzavar. What do you hold? Chi Chalitza Ibiya. That Chalitza and relations are the same. Came in Jecholatz. It's not comparable. Came in Jecholatz. What he did Chalitza? Nekoi Menuzika Sameislam Afreya. Then that undermines the entire relationship to the dead, to the deceased husband. Lemafreya chalula isus tur shomeis etzalachim. But retroactively at that point, the prohibition of eshesach falls on the brothers. So for him, it fell off, but it remains as to be the brothers. Avlin boil out, but if he actually is miyabimer, all bets are off. Ishtoi, then it's his wife, the second guy's wife. So he attacks the Misvara. The Tani, now he mentions the Brisa, even though we mentioned already. The Tani, that's what we have a right, says. Rabbi Chiya says, Meis HaRishon Yabim HaSheni, that the first one dies, the second one does Yibum. Meis HaSheni Yabim HaShlishi, if the second one dies, then the third one does Yibum. Period. New Sugi. Achosa. In our Mishnah it said, if your sister's married to your brother, and he has a co-wife, so that don't do Yibum on a co-wife. How is your sister married to your brother? So may Imo is your sister from your mother's side. Nesul Achiv Mi'avi, who's married to your brother from your father's side. And they're not related to each other, that's how you have such a scenario. Achos Ishto. Well, how do you have scenario? Achos Imo. Your mother's sister. How do you have that? Gvar Ubrei. What happened was that a man and his son, Masvin Tarti Nachvon, they married two daughters, okay? That's the case, it's worthwhile. What? Can't hear. What did I say? Oh, right. A man and his son married two daughters, right. So this is actually two sisters. Anyway, two sisters. So that's how it comes that his mother's sister is married to his brother, okay? Because his father married one sister, and his brother married another sister, which is strange. It sounds like something happens in the Appalachians, but it can have, it's halachically permissible, okay? Says a little further. Achos Ishto, your wife's sister, Trei Nachim, that's two brothers, and Stephen Titan Achim are married to two sisters. Reisha Sachim Imo, to your the wife of your brother on a half brother, but it's only a brother through the mother. So then there's no evil. Why? Nemar kanachva, because it says here brothers. Nemar hanu, it says by the children of Yaakov, shneimasar avadecho achim, your 12 servants are brothers, anachnu, we are brothers. Machim shneimar lanu, just like the brothers mentioned by Yaakov, inu, the shvatim, bachimina, Shema Ha'am, which you mentioned there, Bachim in Ado Kosim Adaber, it's about brothers from the father's side, Bachim Shema Khan, so two brothers mentioned here, Bachim in Ado Kosim Adaber, the boss is about brothers from the father's side. I'm Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason said a different drosha to achieve the same ends. Unemar Khan Yeshiva says here, Yeshiva, Ki Yeshva Achim Yachta, when two brothers sit together. That's what it says as a prelude to the Yibum Parsha. V'nemalan, it says, subsequently, Yeshiva, the Yerishta. It says you should dwell in Eretz Yisrael and inherit it. You should conquer the land of Israel and dwell in it. Well, there, the distribution was by the father's house. My Yeshiva Shnemalan, Yeshiva Sheshimo Yerusha, the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. The drawing, as you saw, was based on the parameters of inheritance which go by the father's house. I have Yeshiva Shneimar Khan. So to the Yeshiva Machir is Yeshiva Sheshma Yusha, one which has to do with the way inheritance moves, move or transfer, and that goes across the father's house. Yet another drasha, Rabbi Avun Bar Bishtab Sherbi Yonison, the Beis Kuvrin said, Yeshu, those brothers who dwell together, when the two brothers dwell together in their father's house, you are to achim now aim as opposed to brothers from their mother's side only. Each one goes to his respective father's house. Okay, so that's how we know that it's only brothers from the other father's side. Yachto together. This precludes when your brother died before you were born, because you're never in the world at the same time. Rabbi Bun Bar Chia said, Rabbi Bavar Memel asked the question. I only spacious talk of Shloyu Ba Olam Olamo Hayu Ba Parsha. I only a woman who was infertile, and the wife of a brother was not in the world at the same time as you. They seem to be learned from the first same puzzle, right? It has to be, in other words, from the same area. It has to be achdav, it has to be the same time, and it has to be suitable to give birth, right? So I have a kash on you. Machom itzmeimer, why did you say ionis if you have a woman who can't give birth? Sarasa muteres. Her tzara can still marry, or still be misyabemis, right? The co-wife of an ionis can be misyabemis. As opposed to veishasachim shloyu v'parsho, as opposed to Eishel Yishleya Ba'olamo, Tarasa Asura. If there's a co-wife who was the wife of a brother who wasn't in the world at the same time, then the co-wife is forbidden. Gee, how would that work? I didn't even know how that would work. Shkantu Yibo. But then if she's written Kadesh Rach. But how would that work? Both wives are not in the world. How's this case technically possible? It must be laughed after. Because the brother died simultaneously for both his wives. That's the assumption of it. Yeah, we would assume that to be the case. So actually this case seems to be technically not feasible. So I guess it's laughed off for this case. In other words, all the other cases in the Mishnah where we're talking about Tzoros of Erva, so then you're not allowed to do Yibum neither on the Erva nor on the Tzora. Neither on the Erva nor on the Kowai. But by Islanders now to do Yibum on the islands, but allowed to do Yibum on her co-wife. What's the difference? Well, Mar is going to give an answer. Yeah. Says more again, you know things Gemara doesn't know yet. So on my way, so he said, I only need to be Tom Acherot Seisa. I only need to be precluded from a different reason. Asher Tele. It's not the same pasuk, because that's too suitable for later. Which she's not an Erva, just can't give birth, which is what you're saying, right? Asher Tele, you ought to do Shane this, but this one can't give birth. So Lo Dayach Hashem Mitzia Bemes. It's not enough, she can't be Mitzia Bemes. El Shah Mibakish Lesser Tarasa, but you want to ask her a co-wife? Aval Eish Sarim Shloyo Lomo, but a wife who wasn't alive at the of a brother wasn't alive at the same time. Or one of the other Arayas mentioned in our Mishnah. Elvoi! That's a different parameter, that's the prohibition of Erva. The Erva Poteres Tarasa! And an Erva exempts her co-wife. No. Means all the ones in our Mishnah which are Ervas. Arayas. I hope, otherwise I have no way of understanding this. I don't know. I still don't see how it's technically feasible. So I still have to say it's locked up. Yes. No. That's because she doesn't possess the uterus, or you know, she's sterile, right? Sterile. But it's after menopause, so she still is liable to. She still would have to undergo yibum. Even if she's very, very old. Let me just check if he has a chart on this. I can't imagine. Okay, it does work. He's got the case. We just forgot that there is a case. There's a case which is technically conceivable. The case is where there were three brothers. Reuven was the one who died before Levi was born. He had a wife, Rachel. Rachel was Mitzia Bemes to Shimon, who had a co-wife, Dina. Levi was alive at the same time Shimon was alive, right? So this Rachel exempts Dina, right, from Yibum. Why? Because she was an Ashes Achim Shloya Lomo, not vis-a-vis Shimon, because Shimon Levi were alive at some time, but vis-a-vis Reuven, who died years before. Okay? So that's a case where she exempts her co-wife because of Ashes Achim Shloya Bo Lomo.
Except that she's the co-wife of the other
Shimon. That's right. She's exempting Dina. Every co-wife of Reuven had would be exempt because they weren't alive at the same time as Levi. Right, that's why the cases where she's exempting carry on. That's right. Okay. Says Gemara, Asi Amar, Sora Sayoni Sasura. Asi, now I don't know why it's not called Rav Asi, maybe because they don't like what he's saying. He said, Sora Sayoni is Asura. The Sora of an Sayoni is forbidden. Masnisa pliga asi. The Mishnah argues on asi. The Mishnah says, the next Mishnah says, the kulami meisulami anu, if the ervas died or repudiated their marriages, on these guys where they were divorced, or shanim to islandis, they found to be islandis, so the same with towards the co-wives are permissible. So obviously the Mishnah rejects this statement. Rabbi Bun Bar Chia B'Shem Rabba Bar Memel said, Madamar Asi, that which Asi said, even though it doesn't go like the next Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said, like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, although it's not in the next Mishnah, Kol She'en HaMiyab Meni, if you can't do Yibum on me, En HaMiyab Im Tzorasi, you can't do Yibum on my co-wife Yibum. Okay? So that's like Asi. Because also, the last case in the first Mishnah was his daughter-in-law. Rav Yosef said, Zosamer Shemutu Adam Lisos Eishas Benochi. This teaches us that a person is allowed to marry the wife of his nephew. Because otherwise, there's no way that we would have such a scenario that a father would be confronted with dealing with Yibum, with his ex-daughter-in-law, unless we say that your nephew's wife is permitted to you after your nephew dies. Okay, that's what you have to say. Okay? Says the Mishnah friend. These 15 women enumerated in the first Mishnah. Harei Lupotro, so saying they exempt their co-wives, Vitzorah, so saying, and their co-wives of their co-wives, down the line as carryovers, Mina Chalitza, Pramay to Chalitza, or Mina Yibum, Pramay to Yibum, Atzof Olam, no matter how many co-wives down the line it reaches. The clue on all of these cases, however, imesu omiyanu. What happens if the erva dies prior to the husband? She predeceases her husband. Or she's mimayim. Where's miyun possible? Who can do miyun? Who can repudiate their marriage? Who was married by whom? No. Only by her mother or brother. If the father married her, she can't repudiate her marriage, because her marriage is deraisa. If the brother or sister, brother or mother married her off, then she repudiated her marriage because marriage to Rabbana. So if he was, if the brother was married to an erva, but he married her as a minor, and in kiddushin to Rabbana, and then she renounces her marriage, so then she gets her co-wife can be misyabemis. Okay? On his gashu, if they're divorced prior to their ex-husband dying. Oshibsu Islandis, so they found to be an Islandis, so the same with her as the co-wives of Mutabib. As Sha'inat Yochulam Rechamoso. Now this you cannot say by your mother-in-law, that your mother-in-law is an Islandis. Why can your mother-in-law not be an Islandis?
She had a son, right.
She had a daughter who you married. Right. So the odds are she's not an Islandis. Okay? So, Norki say about Em Chamoso. Your mother-in-law's mother, Vayim Chaviv, your father-in-law's mother, Shanim to Ionis Lamianu. You can't say that they're Ionis or that they did Miun, because obviously they were married till the point they had children, so obviously they're an Ionis, and the Gemara is going to discuss above on base that after you have children, you probably can't do Miun anymore. Okay? So since they already had children before they married this fellow, so therefore they could not have done Miun on this fellow. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is a fascinating Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, what happens if the woman got married by a brother or by her mother before age 12, and then her husband died, and now instead of being misyabemis, she wants to do miyun on the zikah? Can he do miyun on the zikah? You see the question? Can she repeat it? It's not a marriage anymore because her husband died. But she's quasi-married and that she's still in the zaku. She's still required to do something, a procedure with the yavam. Can she do miyun now? What? Right, she's going to do either yavam or chalit. So what's the story? Rabbi Yochanan in my enesi biyavam, she can repudiate the yavam. Lacker Zizu Zika Sameis, and she can undermine the Zika, and that will also have the fringe benefit, Latir Tzora Lavio, to allow the Tzora, the co-wife, to her father, let's say that's their rights relationship, to allow a daughter-in-law to her father-in-law, meaning that, let's say, the mace, the deceased husband still has a father-in-law. If she repudiates her marriage now, then she go and marry her ex-father-in-law, because she was never married to the son-in-law. So can she do that? Probably not the Rabbanan, because she probably mean will not allow it. But the Raisa she can for sure, right? Sure. Now, Rabbi Shimon Lokish, Rabbi Shlok Tarvein Rami, they both said, Enem minus be of them. She can't do Miyum on the Yavam, lack her Zika Sameis, to permit the Zika, to repudiate the Zika, and to allow the co-wife to marry her, to marry the Yavam, or to allow herself to marry her ex-father-in-law. Now, this is Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish Lishitas, according to the Ushalmi. Rabbi Yochanan holds, as we said before, that chalitz is a p'tur. What does mean chalitz is a p'tur? It means zika is real. What does chalitz do? It's like it releases the chalitz, releases the zika. So if chalitza is a p'tur, that means the zika is a real bond, and if it's a real bond, you can do miyun on that bond. Okay? Miyun repudiate it. They repudiate that bond. But Reish Lakish says the chalitza is a kinyan. Meaning that until the chalitza, she didn't have any true relationship with the yavam. And that means that really her relationship with the first husband for all intents and purposes, ended. Just that she is in a state of limbo, because she still has to undergo Yibum or Chalitza. But therefore, she can't do Miyun at this point. Why? Because when she's going to be Mayanan, she's not, Zika, according to Reish Lakish, is not a status of Isus, but a status of limbo, so there's nothing on which to do Zika. Okay? Now, this also, the Yushalmi learns, and the Bavli argues on this. Bavli and Yavama Stafyud. The Yushalmi learns, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that after Chalitza, she's not, according to Chalitza, she's no longer an Eish HaSach vis-a-vis the person who did Chalitza. But she's an Eish HaSach vis-a-vis all the other brothers. Because Chalitza is a Ptur. And since Chalitza is a Ptur, so therefore, the one who did it Paters, but not for everybody else. According to Reish Lakish, even after Chalitza, after Chalitza, she's no longer an Eish HaSach, neither vis-a-vis him, nor vis-a-vis the brothers. Because Rabbi Reish Lakish holds, although they're not, it was a question what exactly Reish Lakish held. But that was the primary opinion in the Yerushalmi, is that after Chalitza, she's no longer Issa Kares of Eish HaSach on any of them. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, Chalitza is a Kenyan. What does it mean Chalitza is a Kenyan? So now it's as if she had full-fledged marriage to the second guy, who then was Cholitzer, so that Chalitza, of course, is effective vis-a-vis whatever way, shape, or form is effective vis-a-vis all the brothers. Okay, so if Chalitza is a Ptur, it can limit, its ramifications can be limited to the person who engaged in the Chalitza. But Chalitza is a Kenyan, that means that the effect is on everybody, because now she was elevated, and then the Chalitza took place afterwards. No, one opinion of Reish Lakish is that it does. Rabbi Yochanan has no such opinion, but one of the opinions of Reish Lakish is that it does. Okay? Now, this is the exact opposite of the Bavli. The Bavli tells us, though, we'll see the Bavli sometime next year. The Bavli says that, according to Reish Lakish, all the brothers are still Eish HaSach. All the brothers still have the prohibition of Eish HaSach. And in the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, the Bavli says that, of course, in all the brothers, she's not an Eish HaSach at all. Okay? So the Bavli doesn't hold this whole chakira of whether Chalitza is a kinyan or a p'tur. The way the Bavli bases it is purely on the question of whether the brothers are shaliach for everybody, the brother who does Chalitza is a shaliach for everybody, and in which case you would hold, like Rabbi Yochanan says in the Bavli, that since he's a shaliach, and he's off the hook, so they're all off the hook. Or the brother's acting on his own. And since he's acting on his own, so only he's off the hook, but none of the others are off the hook. So again, Yushalmi and Bavli have very, very different perspectives. The Bavli has a question, Yushalmi's question whether Chalitza is a Ptur, like according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kini according to Reish Lakish. According to the Bavli, it sounds like everybody else Chalitza is a Ptur. Zika is real, Chalitza is a Ptur. And since that's the case, the question only is he acting on his own? In which case, it's only now downgraded for him, but for everybody else, it's still Eish HaSach. Or is he acting as a shaliach for all of them, as far as the Yushalmi apparently doesn't have, in which case, the issue is downgraded across the board. Okay? So a very big machlokes between the Bavli and the Yushalmi, and it seems that this machlokes has major implications as to how we understand Zika. Whether Zika is Ishus, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in the Yushalmi, right? And the opinion, it seems, completely and totally of the Bavli, or Zika is limbo, and Chalitza is a Kenyan, which is the opinion of Reish Lakish and Rav and Reish Lakish in the Yushalmi. Yeah, but you see, they're also all better off. It's like the case of Meir mentioned before, because Ruth was a shiksa. So there, at the time of Machlon and Killian, yeah, according to most opinions. So therefore, it wasn't true Yibum there either. Okay. Says more further. Top above and out. Rav Rav Shimon, so ask more, wait a minute. Do Rav Rav Shimon look at Sholek B'Shamai? Now B'Shamai says explicitly later on that there is no Niyun by Yovel. You can't do Niyun once you fall before the Yovel. So it sounds like Rav and Reish Lakish holds like Beis Shammai. Right? What's going on? To Beis Shammai, Rav and Shimon Lurish Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai about the Beis Shammai says that you only do Niyun vis-a-vis the husband, but not once he's deceased. Do Rav and Shimon Lurish talk all that way? Says Marno. Mana Kayomi. What's our machlokas here between, of course, Rav and Rav Shimon Lakish don't want to come out with Kibishamai. So what are they talking about? Angle Maris, this is a very interesting discussion here. Now, you have to understand, underlying this whole discussion is the premise that even though we're talking lumdus, you know, abstract reasoning, chalitz akinyan, chalitz aptur, but the bottom line is vis-a-vis niun, niun is all the rabbanan, right? Because the whole marriage is the Rabbanan. That's why this girl can repudiate the marriage. You never have such a thing by the rights of marriage, only by the Rabbanan marriage. So really, the principle should be Heim Amru Veheim Amru. If the rabbis made the rules, they can break the rules, right? So that's really the operative principle after the Lumdus. And that's what Gemara is asking. Okay, it's a nice Lumdus. Chalitza is a Kenyan. Zika is limbo. You can't do me in a limbo. But that's only if you hold Miyun as if there is a real thing. But you guys made Miyun up. So apply it as you see fit. You say you can't apply unless it's a husband? Well, I know all that way, Bishamai. You guys hold like Bishamai? That's Gemara's question. Okay? So says the Gemara. A very interesting distinction. Monica, we're talking about Imbo Maris, if she says it's not possible, Lobi Nisuecho, not to be married to you, the Yavam. Nor to be married to my old husband. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rav, Shehi Okeres, that she can uproot the marriage even in the state of Zika. Right? Even in Zika, she can uproot it because she's saying, I don't want him, I don't want you, I don't know who I have to do me and two, but I don't want any of you guys. That works. And here the Shai Tarasar so adds a line, although it's not necessary to add it, but it is helpful. And the line he adds, which is non-digmar, is Vimbo Maris, if she been a suech, if she says, my dear departed husband I loved, and I would not repudiate his marriage, but you're a rotten stinker and I don't want to be married to you, then, call I'm a mighty shano cares, then she can't approve it. Because the repudiation has to work not just on the current Zika state, but rather even on the retroactive state of marriage. So, Elakenanu Kayomi, getting back to North, so what's the machlokas? Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Reish Lakish on the other end. Bomeris, where she says, now here's a big, big word missing. E, if she been suing. But she says, it's not possible to be married. But she doesn't specify which marriage. The first marriage to the royal husband, or the second proposed marriage to the Yavam. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bill Meres, it says Bill Meres, but it's like Kill Meres. It's as if she said, if she loves the Suechov, loves the Achicho. It's as if she said the right formula, I don't want either of your marriages. The Rabbi Shimon Lokeshtar, Vein Romi, they both said, Kill Meres, it's as if she says, if she even the Suechov, I hate you. I'm the Suechov, Achicho, wrote Sani, but I want my marriage to your deceased brother to remain intact, and therefore it's not about me. Period. Masisa Bli Rabbi Yochanan sounds like our Mishnah argues Rabbi Yochanan, because it says in our Mishnah, Vekulani Meisu, if they died, Omianu, or they did Miun, Onis Garshu, or they were divorced, Oshim Tzu Islandis, they found the Islandis, Tzorei Seyen Mutoros, their Tzoros are permissible. Nisgarshu, it says divorce. V'loi menu. When do you get divorced? When your husband's dead or alive? Usually when he's alive, right? So that's the case of divorce is when the husband's still alive. With the Kavasa, similarly, it should be menu that when they repudiate the marriage, it's also a menu that the repudiation occurred while the husband was still alive. So it's Kash Rabbi Yochanan says, You can even repudiate at the state of Zika. Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Chia Kang. Rabbi Chia said explicitly, in a brother, I learned the price explicitly, in Mianu, on his Karshu, Imianu and his kashu bechaye habal. If they did miun or gerushin in the husband's lifetime, hatzolotzo say mutaros. Then the co-wives are permissible be evil. Lachamis is about if the divorce or the miun occurred after the husband died. So say chotzes lo misyamos. Then the taros cannot be misyamos. They have to get chalitza. Now everybody said, why do they have to get chalitza? If the co-wife was Mimayin after the death of her husband, so and she's an erva to the Yavam, why is Chalitza necessary? But no, that's not why. But rather because the marriage between the erva and the brother was only a rabbinic marriage. So in order to exempt the co-wife from both Yibum and Chalitza, it would have to be a Doraisa marriage, right? Because Yibum was a Chiv Doraisa. So in order to exempt a Doraisa from both Yibum and Chalitza, both wives have to be married Doraisa, and then the Erva's co-wife is exempt. But since the marriage to the Erva is only a rabbinic marriage, it can't exempt from Yibum and Chalitza Doraisa. Rabbanan could say, don't do Yibum, do Chalitza. But Chalitza. Rabbi Yudan Avoid the Rebbe, so Rabbi Yudan, the father of Rebbe, is the word missing here. It's Rebbe somebody, but we don't know exactly who. Avun, the father of Rebbe blank, said, Masnisa Tipat explained the Mishnah, Shemesu Velo Mianu. This story about who died? Not just the husband died, the little girl died. The wife was there, but died. In other words, the girl died without having done meal. The masnisa koyachol ma'ev lo miyano. The Mishnah say anybody who could do miyun and did not, torasa choletzes lo miyabemes. The co-wife has to chalitza not yibum. And kena masnisa. This is the way to read our Mishnah. Koyachol ma'ev anyone who could have done miyun, lo miyano but did not. Umeisa then she died before having done miyun. Torasa choletzes lo miyabemes. The co-wife gets chalitza not yibum. Rabbi Abba Mori said a very interesting way of learning our Mishnah. Afilu Tamar B'Kayomis. You can even talk about while she's still alive. So why doesn't she do miyun now? Tipata she'en shom yavam acher elo avio. It's talking about where her own father is her yavam. Now the Gemara is going to ask on the base, how is it possible to have a live father and the potential of miyun? Isn't the potential of miyun only when your father's dead and you're married off by your brother or your sister or your mother? The Gemara's going to answer that. The Gemara's going to give a scenario. But let's think about that case for a minute. The Yoreh Tzemach gives a very beautiful explanation of this. He says, what the Mishnah is saying is that if your father, in other words, the Yavam's brother married his niece, right? And now the Yavam died and he left the niece, to which he's married the Rabbanan. And of course, he left his wife, who was his niece, and who's now the Yavam's daughter, right? And he left the co-wife, right? So co-wife has to chalitza, not yibum. So why don't they do miyum now? Why can't we get the co-wife to even do yibum by having the daughter do miyum? So in that, it says, she can't do miyum now, because who's her Yavam? Her father. What does it mean that her Yavam is a father? It means there's no Zika. The only time there's a possibility of doing miyun after death is if there's still Zika. But there's no Zika to an erva. Since there's no Zika to an erva, you can't do miyun anymore. It's a beautiful explanation by the Tzemach, which is, it seems to be pushed around the world, but nobody else says it. Again, our Mishnah is saying there's a time when it's too late to do miyun. When is that? If your Yavam is your father or any other erva, right? And then and he didn't do miyun until after death, until after your husband died. There's no way you can do miyun afterwards. Why can't you do miyun afterwards? Because there's no Zika. You have to be able to do miyun on Zika. It has to be either on a marriage or on a Zika. That Rabbi Yochanan said he could do miyun on a Zika is talking about where the Yavam is not an erva. Where the Yavam is an erva, ain't no Zika, ain't no miyun. Therefore, the tzara in all those cases, the co-wife has to chalitza and cannot get yibum. Okay? Says what Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Now, period. That's Nusuga. Rabbi Yonah Mar Rabbi Neiris. This is kind of the getting back to idleness. Rabbi Yonah said the only time an idleness is exempt from Yibum is if she was discovered in idleness when she was betrothed, but not yet married. Remember, in the old days, you used to divide between Kiddushin and Chuppah. So between the Kiddushin and Chuppah, she was found to be an idleness. So in that case, we say, then there's no there's no Yibum. However, after Nisuin, since the guy decides you may marry her despite a barrenness, then there is Yibum. Says more Rabbi Yisimar Afina Nisuin, even from after Nisuin, there is no Yibum because Lamaisa, the idleness is not susceptible to Yibum, period. Marzira Tinyana, when Rabbi Yisimar learned the second time around Yibumus, Chazma Rabbi Yisimar Reneg, and said it's only an idleness Mina Erison who exempts, not an idleness Mina, who's exempt, not an idleness Mina Suin. Amalei Rabbi Yisimar said to Rabbi Yisimar, what's going on here? Loki and Alf and Rebbe Minani Suin, they should teach us that even from marriage, the idleness is exempt from Yibum. Amalei, so Rabbi Yisimar retorted, he said, V'kfua gabokki masmeira, what is it, stuck into you like a nail? Just like I changed my mind, you can change your mind. Am Rabbi Zia Kum Rabbi Mona, Rabbi Zia said for Rabbi Mona. Yo, some Rabbi Yossi at Shaloy Achsorbo. Rabbi Yossi said that before every night. Meaning that even Alis Minanisuin is not susceptible to evil. Ilu Bito Minanisuin. Because look, if your daughter is married to your brother, and it's after marriage, below islandness, without initial violence. So Rasa Asura. So the Tzara, the co-wife, is forbidden, right? She doesn't have Yibum Chalitza. Mivnation is vasi for islandness, just because now she's an islandness. Tzaras muteres. The Tzara is permissible, meaning now that you find that she's an islandness, and because she's an islandness. One second, I'm not sure I understood when I prepared this properly. Yeah, I did understand properly. Now I didn't understand properly. Sorry. Ilu is a new statement. The Ritbah says, from Ilu starts a new statement, doesn't follow the previous statement. Confused when I was preparing today, too. In other words, we finished. Rabbi Yosef said better before. It was Chayzibel. Even Ilu's Minasui is not Shach Tibu. Now, Nusug. That's a question. The question is, what happens according to the opinion that let me read inside. It would be to me assuming below only Sarasa Sura. The question was, an islandess means I'm suing, right? Why is she exempt from Yibum? And why then does she, the co-wife, allowed to be Miser Bemis? If it's your daughter, and she's not an islandess, so her co-wife is forbidden to be Misyabim. The nation is supposed to be islandess because she's your daughter, and she's an islandess. So now, she'll be a double whammy. Yet you're saying that's a Russell Muteris. Then in that case, since your daughter is an islandess, or any other Arab in the mission said, if any Arias is found to be an islandess, then it's a Russell Muteris. Why is that? There should be a double whammy. Now she's an Arab plus an islandess. She's an Arab plus an islandess, so certainly the co-wife should be exempt from Yibum Makalitza. Right? If in a single whammy, if one of the wives is co-wives is an Arab, so then her co-wife doesn't have Yibum Chalitza. So if the woman is both an Erva and an islandess, so certainly the other co-wife can't get Yibum Chalitza. Doesn't that follow? Says my no. Armley islandess Kmishayna Boila. She's an islandess, she doesn't count at all. It's as if she does not exist. And that's why she doesn't exempt the co-wife from Yibum Chalitza. Because islandess is outside the game. They don't get into the game at all because of Asher Teilin. And here we continue as a proof that Ilush Teivamas, if you have two Yevamas, two co-wives, Achas Yalonis, Achas Shein Alonis, one's Alonis, one is not. And Yovam came and did chalitza or bia to the islanders. Shema pata b'chaver to klum. Does it have any effect on the co-wife? Not at all, because an islandis is not at bat when it comes to yibum or chalitza. So therefore, whatever you do to islandis is meaningless, and therefore the co-wife of the islandis is always permitted for yibum or chalitza. Have an islandis commission in a bowl, so islandis is if it doesn't exist vis-a-vis the issue of yibum. Okay, bita. The rest of the one is very easy, but I still don't think we'll be able to do our two plot in the next 2 minutes. Bita. So he said a case in Avraham where your own daughter has the possibility of doing miyun, even though you're still alive and kicking. How is there such a case? Ubitu memayenes says mevlobi sui torahi. If a father marries off his daughter, it's doraisa. Has piti nasati l'shazeh. I gave my wife to this man. Rabbi Chuna v'shem ben shem Rabbi Shem ben Loki said tipata fourth line down. Tipata miktana shisio avio. It's a cool case like this. Her father married her off once. Vidi's gosh, and then she got divorced. She kiyasoyma b'chayoviya. The status of a girl who was married and then divorced and remains a minor. She's like an orphan in her father's lifetime. But even though her father can marry off a second time, that second marriage is only the Rabbana and not the Raisa. And therefore she can do miyun in that case, even though her father's still alive. Father only gets one shot, not more than that. Okay? Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Shem and Lucky said, Zosemes, this teaches us, She'en Ketana Yoledes, that a Ketana can't give birth. Why? To locate, if that was not the case, skip the next three words, Shai Terzel that takes out. Timoyen Bebala, let her repudiate her husband, Betatio Tzarosa L'chasona, and let her permit the fact that so I have to explain the fact that our mission said a mother-in-law can't be mine teaches us that a ketana doesn't give birth, because if a ketana could give birth, so maybe his mother-in-law gave birth to him as a ketana, gave birth to his wife as a ketana, and then afterwards she did miyun later on, right? So it must be that minors don't give birth, and that's why it's not possible to have a case of miyun by a mother-in-law, right? Locate. Let her be do miyun on her husband. And let her allow her co-wife to marry her son-in-law. In fact, we had a case where Rabbi Shmuel's daughter-in-law, Mianah, she did miyun, even though she had a child on her shoulders. We had a case of miyun where there was a girl who's already grown to adulthood. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss this at great length. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? Lichora miyun is only shayach if the girl's still a minor. Does miyun occur even if the girl's already an adult, already has kids, right? Especially in light of what we hold, that once you have kids, you're considered to be really an adult already. All right, so this is all something which we'll leave to tomorrow, but it's actually a very easy tomorrow. There's no secret by an eye whatsoever, right? So, the exception doesn't exist.